Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Today we have with us Nancy Drapeau, Vice President of Research, Center for Exhibition Industry Research, CEIR.
I see again in this new study series is the enduring value of face-to-face engagement at trade shows. I mean, there was just this, in particular on the exhibitor side of the equation, this urge to get back together with people, right, to connect with them. And On the channel study, we saw the same thing on the attendee side. There's this just hyper desire to get back. And in this particular series, we're seeing a use, maybe a more elevated use of all things physical that can be experienced in the in-person setting.
Nancy Drapeau, IPC, is a 30-year market research veteran with more than 20 years in the business-to-business exhibitions industry. As Center for Exhibition Industry Research's Vice President of Research, Nancy conducts industry-wide studies and reports on current trends in the exhibition industry. In 2019, she was named to BizBash's 1,000 Most Influential People in Events list. She holds a BA in Government from Georgetown University and a Master's in Advanced European and International Studies from the European Institute in Nice, France. She's an AC Nielsen Burke Institute-trained focus group moderator. She's a well-respected industry speaker and a member of the Industry Insights Association with IPC certification. She has served as a member of the Events Industry Council's Research and Advocacy Task Force. She lives in Maine with her husband and a border collie named Moxie. Now, on to this insightful and informative episode with Nancy Drapeau. Nancy, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm so happy to have you here because it's very rare. And you're the first research scientist that I'm talking to who is really looking at the data. Okay? I've been talking to leaders. You know, I spoke with Marsha. That was a great conversation. I don't know whether you got a chance to hear it. But I think I'm really excited about this chat because I think the kind of reports that you are putting out are very, very critical and important. And I am super excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much. And it's a real pleasure and privilege to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. I'll dive right in. The first question is, can you give us a quick overview of the index report?
Sure. Well, the index report has been published since 2011 was when it first got published in its current iteration. And at the time, Dr. Alan Shaw was the economist. He retired last year. And since then now, Oxford Economics has taken over the analysis of that. So what it does is it's like the Dow Jones Industrial for the trade show industry here in the United States. And it tracks four metrics: number of attendees, professional attendees, net square footage of paid space, number of exhibiting companies, and organizer gross revenues. So those metrics are tracked over time using time series and the like, and it provides a forecast outlook. So in essence, it gives an indication, is the industry growing? Is it contracting? Is it expanding? And if so, how so? It was actually a very important resource even for the Federal Reserve would check in with us because our industry has been a gateway or is seen as a gateway to the U.S. economy. And so during the pandemic, they would check in with us to see how is our industry performing. So in essence, it's a very highly well-regarded resource in different settings. And so what we see right now in terms of the performance of our industry, it's in process of recovering. In the first half of this current year, we're down, we're still not back to pre-pandemic levels. We're down still like around 9% compared to 2019. But the great news is we're seeing progress. Although the second quarter of this year, it was down like around 12%. So there's a bumpiness, but over time, that line is pointing in the right direction. And it's expected that our industry is going to take a little bit more time to fully recover. We're expected to be fully recovered in 2026. Originally, it was expected we were going to recover sooner. However, given the pace of inflation, the actions of the part of the Federal Reserve imposing those systematic interest rate hikes and the like kind of caused impacts to, you know, those macroeconomic factors that will influence performance of our industry. So again, we're recovering. It's taking a little bit more time, but we're heading in the right direction.
And do you see a difference in the recovery based on the industry? For instance, is technology fully recovered and agriculture not so much? Because what you're telling me, I assume, would be the average of the entire industry. Are any sectors ahead of the others?
Yes. One sector that's been on fire is transportation. I mean, it's fully recovered. I mean, it's really fully recovered. It's like over almost 18% higher in the current year than in 2019. But some other sectors are suffering. But the bulk of them, again, pardon me, are still in process of recovery. Let me just restate my apologies here in terms of the rate of recovery. IT has been fully ahead, but it's really 13%, not 18%. But it's expected to continue to outpace performance relative to other sectors. Again, there's only three that have recovered so far: transportation, finance, legal, real estate, and education. Every other sector is slowly recovering. But one sector that has been a persistent underperformer is consumer goods and retail trade. Consumer goods and retail trade has basically contracted persistently over time, a secular decline. And the reason why is, you know, the pace of selling and buying online. So you've seen brick and mortar stores closing with it, employment and the like. And so there's always been that constant struggle, and it's going to continue to persist. But come 2026, nearly all of the sectors will be fully recovered, with the exception of three. And again, sporting goods, travel, and amusement is a sector that's struggling. We've seen challenges with travel that have been kind of tempered because of costs for traveling and the like. I've already talked about consumer goods and retail trade, but also raw materials and science is another one. So yes, to answer your question, without that much detail, the specific factors impacting the industries will result in a different outcome, because employment on the attendee side of the equation can impact attendance, and on the supply side, in terms of companies that exhibit, is a function of the strength of those markets. Are they growing? That sort of thing will ultimately impact expected performance.
Yeah, before I move on to the three reports that we are going to sort of discuss in detail today, my last question on the index report, the ones that have recovered that you said, including transportation and technology, and the ones that haven't, how much of it, how much of the overall industry does it represent? So is it like 80% we are recovered and 20% is sort of going to take time till 2026? Or in terms of volume, in terms of number of exhibitions, number of exhibitors, number of attendees, I'm just saying, is there a aggregate that you have which says, okay, this percentage we are actually fully recovered, this percentage will sort of catch up and will be there by 2026? Do you have any estimates of that?
Well, in terms of now, there's only about 20 to 30% of events. If I'm looking at events, not by sector, that have surpassed their 2019 levels. It's from 30%. So by sector, I can't give you an accurate percentage. But yeah, I mean, they're everything. Keep in mind as well, we keep looking at how well the industry is performing compared to 2019, but we also look at year-over-year percent change.
Right.
And in, so in the current year, it's expected that we'll be growing by 8.5% this year. Mm-hmm. So there's strong growth, but it's just, you know, recovering to 2019 is taking longer. So to that issue, the proportion of events by sector, a large percentage, again, they're not fully recovered. I would say a large, I think what I just said to you in terms of the percentage of events that are reporting positive trends, it's more a function of event size that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So the events that are the largest and the smallest have been enjoying a steadier pace of growth rather than the middle.
Right. Got it. Got it. Great. Thanks a lot. And we will come back and revisit the index report at some point in detail, your time permitting. Let's talk about the attendee exhibitor engagement report, which has been coming out. And we have got three out of a planned, I think, 10.
Eight will be. There could be another special insight piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we have three out, and they cover quite a bit of ground. But even before we dive in, my first question is, what was the purpose of this study, and when was it conducted, and what was the kind of scale? So if you can give us an overview of the background and the scale of this study.
Sure. So what I just talked about is actually not my research work. We have economists that, you know, monitor and do that analysis. So that's a macro level understanding of our industry. I oversee the other research that goes to more micro level, looking at trends impacting the health of the industry. I mean, the index is, you know, only four metrics, but what is it about an event that attracts professionals to it? Why do companies, brand marketers, why are they motivated to invest in exhibiting? So insights that flow from that research, I do that, and it provides insights again for organizers to understand what needs to be delivered content-wise, and as well provides insights to exhibitors to understand how can one resonate, connect with it, business professionals that go to trade shows. This is a trade show industry. These are not consumer shows. So in essence, we provide stakeholder insights as well. Organizers, brand marketers, suppliers to the industry. So what motivates the running of this study? Well, let's just back up a minute here and think about the fact that we had this historic pandemic, right, that basically halted the trade show industry almost virtually in the second half of 2020. And so the index is, again, is showing that pace of recovery. But then the question is, okay, what is recovering? What do trade shows look like today? What is continuing to resonate or work? And what are there that are new shifts that are going on? We did a study, an omnichannel study back in 2021, and we asked exhibitors and attendees, once trade shows happen again, are you coming back? And on the exhibitor side of the equation, 94% of exhibitors said, yes, we're coming back. And 87% of attendees said the same. And we documented those motivations. So we know ultimately that helped affirm the forecasts that we're seeing play out now. I mean, really, I think that study was quite forward-looking. I mean, I felt very comfortable that the forecast the economists were providing were going to come through. And we see the insights from that study series continue to, you know, be affirmed in the research we do. So 2017, we had done a study looking at attendee exhibitor engagement on the show floor, right? Well, let me back up. What we did after the omnichannel study is we took a look at support and insights on exhibit sales and sponsorship initiatives. What's driving revenue to help organizations, events, you know, bring back revenue. And as well, on the attendee side of the equation, what attendee acquisition tactics are working well. So with those benchmarks established, the next thing is to take a look at the trade show floor. You know, again, to that point, what's working, what's maybe not working, you know, what's the way forward to provide those insights so that trade shows are the best that they can be moving forward. So that's a long answer, I guess, to your question.
This was very good in terms of the background and the context in which it was done. So quick question. When you did it in 2021, so this was like virtually you are reaching out to them and trying to sort of figure out what is the sentiment. Is that right?
So the omnichannel study was done online. Our research is done almost predominantly, you know, through online outreach surveys, in-depth interviews, that sort of thing. Yes. So we did a snapshot that was of the, you know, U.S. market where we had, it was a sampling of exhibitors and attendees looking at, are they coming back?
So what is the scale of the study, the one that is coming out now? How many attendees and how many exhibitors are part of this? And are they predominantly U.S. or is it global?
Okay, so in terms of the approach done this go-round for this particular study, it includes a sampling of organizers and exhibitors, and it takes a snapshot look at from their vantage points, what they see to enjoy high attendee use, and then as well, drilling down to perceived effectiveness in helping exhibitors achieve their overall goals. The scope geographically is North America. So on the organizer side of the equation, we have 224 organizers who participated. On the exhibitor side of the equation, we have just under 500. So in essence, those samples really are representative. I drew everything in my, as best as I can, leveraging the relationships that SEER has with associations. So for example, on the organizer's side of the equation, IAEE, the Canadian Association of Exposition Management, Society of Independent Show Organizers, AMPROFEC in Mexico, PCO, as well as known trade media publications, Trade Show Executive, and North Star Travel, MPI. So we have all of these relationships, and through that, we invite those that who are executives to answer the survey. And so we capture that sample by qualifying them up front. And then I take a look to make sure that the sample is within the margins of error of the SEER index, in particular for the U.S. market, although we have sample from Mexico and Canada as well. And then on the flip side for exhibitors, we have relationships with general service contractors. And so we are able to invite a large volume of exhibitors that are, you know, it's pretty comprehensive, simply that.
Wonderful. So let's touch upon the main findings of the three reports that we have. I mean, just for the benefit of our viewers and listeners, there are three reports that are out. The first one is about exhibitor in-booth tactics, people, product, learning, and other strategies. The second one is balancing digital tactics, show services, and DIY marketing and exhibitor success. And the third one, which is out just now, is how exhibitors evaluate outcomes. So this is, I think they're pretty comprehensive in terms of what they have brought out. So what are the main findings overall from the three? And then you can choose and dig into each of these. I leave it to you to focus on what you think are the interesting bits of these three reports.
Interesting bits are this, is that we, you know, I always think back to earlier studies that we've done to see what ties back, what patterns might one be seeing. What I see again in this new study series is the enduring value of face-to-face engagement at trade shows. I mean, there was just this, in particular on the exhibitor side of the equation, this urge to get back together with people, right, to connect with them. And on a channel study, we saw the same thing on the attendee side. There's this just hyper desire to get back. And in this particular series, we're seeing a use, maybe a more elevated use of all things physical that can be experienced in the in-person setting, right? It's just, it's continuing. I thought maybe things would settle down, but that's one kind of surprise for me that I don't really see. Now, again, this is from the perspective of organizers and exhibitors, but they're identifying, you know, many aspects of attendee engagement, overtures, tactics that are effective or enjoying high attendee use. You know, again, attendee exhibitor engagement, it's the heart of any trade show, right?
Right.
I mean, it's bringing people together to connect with each other and to engage with the products and services that are being promoted. It's just another affirmation that the perception of the trade show channel to achieve business objectives as a buyer and as a seller, for those companies that, you know, need to integrate face-to-face engagement in their marketing and sales processes, it continues to deliver. So this report series really provides the insight specifically on what to do, what to focus on to, you know, be the best outcomes or achieve the best outcomes as you can today in a post-pandemic setting. So that's the overarching one finding. In terms of specifics, I kind of want to start on the third report that, and the reason why I say that is that, I mean, really, this report series aims to support the needs and objectives of brand marketers to invest wisely, maximize their engagement outcomes. And ultimately, the rationale here is if you enjoy high attendee use among attendees, you're enhancing the attendee experience or delivering more enhanced value. So what we find is that large share of exhibitors do evaluate their outcomes, or 80% do. They do so real time while the show's happening in post show. But the most exciting element for me is that their attendee engagement tactics are aligned to help maximize the ultimate goals for exhibiting. So we know in this study quantifies yet again that the top three objectives for exhibiting are sales lead generation, branding, and then relationship management. And so in this study, in the report details the specifics that a very high percentage, over 80%, oh, excuse me, 96%, of attendees say that attendee engagement aims to, you know, positively influence those outcomes. And there's a number of specific key performance metrics for sales lead generation, branding, and relationship management that are found to be effective. Attendee engagement tactics are effective in positively influencing the outcomes of their investments. So in essence, I will be lecturing again at an upcoming conference attended by exhibitors to help them think and become disciplined about the importance of being very thoughtful about strategically investing in one's exhibit program, tying it specifically to the outcomes. What sales leads goals are you looking to achieve? What marketing objectives are you looking to achieve? What does success look like? What are those key performance indicators that you're looking to achieve? And then plan your attendee engagement tactics to help maximize the outcome against those goals. It should all be connected, right? It's critically important for companies to invest wisely, because exhibiting at trade shows is not the least expensive marketing channel to participate in, right? So it provides a lot of good detail to help guide companies with their exhibit program development.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
That second report delineates the various services that are available and to invest according to whether if one's intention is to generate sales leads, what one might invest in for pre-event marketing, on-site marketing might be different than if one's looking for, I don't know, a general brand splash of one sort or another.
You are listening to a Bizcast audio original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode.
I have a couple of questions about pre-show and post-show engagement. I mean, I always look at trade show engagement in three parts, which is the pre-show, at-show, post-show. And I will come back to how much of that has been covered. I'll come back to that. But would you like to touch upon some highlights of the report one and two as well?
Sure. So talking about why companies exhibit and the fact that attendee engagement tactics positively influence outcomes, and to do that strategically and with intent positions a company to succeed. But there are show services that can help support the engagement tactics that are chosen. And again, we have that second report delineates the various services that are available, and to invest according to whether if one's intention is to generate sales leads, what one might invest in for pre-event marketing, on-site marketing might be different than if one's looking for, I don't know, a general brand splash of one sort or another. The focus might be on activities that can generate the media impressions, the social media outcomes, that sort of thing. So I'm not going to go through the laundry list of things unless you want me to, but there's that. But to your issue of pre-event, on-site, post-show marketing. Remember, this particular study series was just looking at attendee engagement on the exhibition floor. We've done other research on like sponsorship. Last year, 2023, we had done a study on sponsorship offerings that goes that distance of pre-event, on-site, post-show, because you're absolutely right. If there's no follow-through, what's the point of the investment, right? But this was right. Just trying to focus exhibitor interests and understanding of what to do before a show to get the right outcomes on the show and what can be done then to further nurture interest and outcomes while the show is happening. And there was another question set that is new that was not in the 2017 study series, looking at do-it-yourself marketing initiatives that exhibitors engage in. It's fascinating because if you take a look at the show services, the event marketing options that are available through a show compared to what exhibitors do on their own, there's an interesting level of complementariness to it. However, there's a couple of areas where I've encouraged organizers and exhibitors to consider how you can better collaborate to maximize the outcome. In particular, for example, social media influencers, pre-event, exhibitors are using them, which I think is kind of exciting. I don't think our marketing approaches for events necessarily uses that strategically enough, but the exhibitors are doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. Or as well to the issue of driving invites through you. Well, you're somebody who's in broadcast, you're in media, to the whole issue of, those social media outlets, video exhibitors are using it. So there's, I think, a tremendous opportunity here to, again, make participating in a trade show and events more by collaborating with exhibitors, making that trade show experience more leveraging what their exhibitors are doing online through their own independent efforts, not trying to do everything, but let user-generated content be a bigger part of you know, an event. And post-show too, as you, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So Nancy, I have one specific question, whether there is any data that you have found. See, when I talk to exhibitors, they typically talk of a spectrum of people who come to their booths, right? So these are starting with people who will come sort of look at what they have displayed, and the moment they're approached, they will scuttle away because they don't want to do a conversation. And to the other extreme, where there are people who are very mindful about coming to this booth and having a conversation because they already have possibly identified them, or there is a pre-existing relationship, and they are there to actually use that time to get more information and get clarifications and so on and so forth, right? So there's one is deeply engaged, other is absolutely not engaged, or coming to pick up the swag or the t-shirt or whatever you're giving away, right? So my question is, do you see any method being applied to actually set up meetings for people in the booth, which is like, it's sort of like how I and you meet, right? So I reach out to you, say, okay, Shivanjan, I can meet you on such and such day at such and such time. I send you a calendar invite. I know I'm going to meet you, and we both sort of get together and we speak, right? So do you see anything at all happening during the exhibition for this?
Well, again, it depends. Why is the company exhibiting? So if relationship management is an objective, a top-ranked objective, they should have a whole game plan in regards to that, where they're doing, you know, setting meetings up in advance, game plan as well to facilitate, you know, those walk-ins that might happen organically. Positioning of a booth, how a booth is set up might bring more of the right attendees into a booth rather than mm-hmm. those that are just tire kickers or looking for free stuff, that sort of thing. That's kind of like a best practice, 101 best practice, right? You want to make sure you're doing that. But how do you set up those meetings? Now there are digital tools that can help facilitate that. There might be that feature on a website where an attendee can make an overture to an exhibitor, or exhibitors can make overtures to attendees to set up and maximize the volume of meetups that might happen. The mobile app that is active at shows is another vehicle that can become used. Now, during COVID, virtual events really made perhaps that expectation of attendees and exhibitors having that free interactive ability to text with each other mm-hmm. has been out there. Events are using that to varying degrees. And in this attendee engagement study, a surprise is that in terms of the mobile app, exhibitors that have used it and integrated it into their attendee engagement, only 35% said that it enjoys high attendee use, which kind of threw me off. But in speaking with organizers, you know, adoption of downloading the mobile app is not necessarily even above 50% of those that are walking the attendee floor. So you need lots of different ways for attendees to access you and to engage with you. Because the mobile app that we would just assumed, oh, everything could just go digital, right? And maybe that's true, but what digital solution? I would assert, I think a website, the show website, is most probably the better vehicle. And to your point of, you know, keeping engagement going maybe year round, the show website, you know, it's there. Whereas the show mobile app, you use it and then, you know, usage just drops off. So that's one thing that it was a real surprise in this study.
Interesting.
But QR codes too. Now think about QR codes. You kind of touch upon different things here. People walking by, trying to get people to come into your booth, and that sort of thing. And then, you know, the behaviors of attendees, some might be more engaged. You might think somebody doesn't care about your booth, but they could be a specifier and they've got X number of booths they need to hit. And so even though they might not be ready for that in-person discussion, you want options for such individuals to grab the information on a self-serve basis. QR codes can be powerful, right? Or iPads, or maybe someone could do the badge scanners continue to be the favored method, but QR codes, I predict. Email was kind of like, I call it the digital duct tape. You know what duct tape is, right? Even though people keep saying it's dying, it's still one of the primary methods for communicating. QR codes are, you know, and in speaking with organizers, I encourage them, think about the placement, like sales lead generation. You know, exhibitors should maybe have a QR code. Someone can just, you know, take that snapshot. But as well, there's a new product showcase or some kind of demonstration area. How can you help support exhibitor interests and sales lead generation? So there's a lot of opportunity in that regard. And as well, one other thing to the issue of how people shop. We're in an omnichannel marketing world, right? And again, someone might be, there are like seven stages to the customer continuum, right? I need something. I don't know what I need. I got this problem. They might be walking the show floor and then they start discovering things. So that's really preliminary, but they might be hunting and they might get to that, you know, awareness of options, brand comparison, but they might want to buy. Now, I've been monitoring this for quite a bit. And what I've seen is millennials, Gen Xers have wanted to engage with exhibitors at a higher rate, even at the moment of purchase. And I suppose, what does engagement mean, right? Well, I would assert, and I keep saying to exhibitors, don't leave money on the table, because you might think, oh, we've got a really long sales cycle. We can't sell this. I'm like, think differently. You know, how can you have a call to action to start that conversation? You might, while one's competitor might, you know, take advantage of that interest, because Gen X millennials want what they want when they want it. I want it now. And there's this, so I think that's a tremendous opportunity. I think younger generations are going to use the trade show channel more efficiently, strategically. I personally find it exciting because maybe trade shows will get more credit for purchases that are generated. There might be a touch point, but anyway, if you can track that connection to the QR code.
Yeah, makes sense. On the point of adoption of apps, my observation is, think of the COVID period, right? What really happened? There were 3 or 4 or 5 large platforms which you sign up for, and all the exhibitors or the exhibition organizer using the same platform, which means I'm signing up once and I'm able to access multiple trade shows, virtual though, right? Uh-huh. In what has happened now is that every event wants a separate standalone app.
Right.
Now, I understand the motivation because I was talking to David Duwa a few weeks back and even with Paul Woodward, you'd know. And they're saying one thing the organizer is going to guard with his life and never part is the data of the attendee. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So I understand the motivation of, okay, my app, I keep it controlled and all is inside. But there is a huge amount of friction. So if I'm a guy, an attendee who is going to 5 different exhibitions over the whole year, it becomes a pain for me to have 5 apps to start engaging with exhibitors in 5 different places, right? So I think one of the reasons, I don't know whether this is something that has come up and you know already, but this is my guess. I'm just adding to this conversation that one of the reasons that we are doing it is that this whole idea of having independent standalone apps don't cut well with the attendee. It may be good for the organizer, it's not good for the attendee, and which is why the adoption is so low.
Well, you know, there's only so much room.
Exactly.
Right. And now, I mean, you're talking about one way to try to solve that. But, I mean, we did, like, how many years has it been, the Digital Toolkit series? And back then, there was disinterest in having too many mobile apps. And I was shocked in this study that the dial hasn't moved that extensively.
Yeah.
But I would assert this, and I don't have the solution. I'm not a technologist. I don't think mobile apps are the solution. I think a technology that facilitates accessing a show website in real time off your phone. But you need, well, I mean, I suppose mobile apps need to work with Wi-Fi. There's a lot of issues here, right? All of that steel and the like. I don't know. I just think that mobile apps, I mean, some mobile app providers are going to come chase me, I suppose. But it just doesn't make sense. Actually, other more, you know, to the issue of getting content about an event, QR codes are even being used to access the show program. Now, it depends upon the size of an event. You know, if you've got lots of, I actually love mobile apps. I use it. It is my Bible when I'm on premise. But you know what? Once I'm gone, I'm gone. I go back to the website.
Exactly.
So that's not logical to me.
Yeah. I agree with you. Would you touch upon the other five reports that are yet to come out and what kind of timeline they'll be out?
Sure. So actually, the fourth report, looking at the future outlook, actually, I just sent that to Proofer. So that one should be out in a couple of weeks. So from the exhibitor perspective, you know, where are they looking to improve? What new models are they interested in taking a look at? And what sources do they use to come up with new ideas to enhance or, you know, kick it up a notch for their exhibit programs? And then the reports that follow will be taking a look at out-of-booth opportunities, right? So we talked about in-booth, the show services, as well as, again, looking forward for exhibitors, but chances for product promotions in common areas, as well as networking opportunities, and education on the show floor is really becoming a staple at many, like medium to large sized events. So we'll take a snapshot look at that. And then as well, from an organizer perspective, how do they evaluate the outcomes of attendee engagement offerings and their outlook for the future in terms of new models and enhancements moving forward. So there's a lot there in terms of timing of when. I'm trying to get these reports out as quickly as I can. So in the next few months, they'll come out. Currently, the objective is for them to be done and out this year.
Right. So quickly, do you see some overall trends, whether in terms of attendance or technology, AI, what is impacting? Do you have any overarching thoughts about these two, three things? In terms of people attending, in terms of technology that you see being used more and more, and potentially AI and the impact it's likely to have.
You'll have to remind me if I forget one of the topics. You covered a lot of ground there. In terms of attendance, that is the metric that is actually lagging. Right now, the forecast outlook per the index, it's, you know, number of exhibiting companies and net square footage of paid space that's leading. And so attendance is, you know, lagging. And again, it's a function of, you know, the macroeconomic and sector specific factors. However, I would say too, that in our omnichannel study, 87% of attendees said they were coming back, but we asked what I like to call an existentialist question, saying, you know, your ability to interact online, what impact will that have on attending trade shows in the future? We had asked that question in 2012. And in 2012, what we found is that ability to interact online would actually drive interest in meeting face-to-face. This time, what a discovery was is 38% said, well, we'll be going to trade shows, but I might go to fewer. So that's a change. So it's a call to action to assure any organizer and any companies that exhibit it has an, you know, a game plan for face-to-face events, but also looking at engagement to continue digitally, because some attendees might not be able to go or might prefer to look in remotely. At this juncture, hybrid, virtual, even no, sorry, I used the downward. There's people are burned out from Zoom meetings and that sort of thing. However, digital, a two-dimensional medium, and you are someone who's been in the business for a long time, has tremendous opportunity for entertainment purposes and has been established as a good ancillary revenue stream for education purposes. So that's what I see with attendance. Attendance, I think the quality of attendance is going to, you know, continue, and I will just watch closely to, you know, what happens moving forward, because that one question keeps me wondering as we see that if it, attendance trails, what does that mean? AI. Well, AI has been used. You got mobile apps, you got matchmaking features, you got chatbots, so that's been around. In terms of where else it might apply, certainly Sears is going to do some tracking research to discern where AI is being applied at events and as well as organizations that run or manage them. So that's something we're going to take a look at next year. Well, there's a lot of places it could be used. But I mean, as a researcher, and I don't want to say how many years I've been researching, you know, the fancy word AI, I've used IBM SPSS for more decades than I care to admit. But IBM has been playing in this sandbox for quite a while, and neural networks and all of those different, you know, approaches that are now driving, I guess, the next generation of which we're now, this new sexy word is AI. Yeah. I content creation, certainly it's really useful in helping increase the efficiencies, I believe, for copy, even creating various forums, et cetera. But I don't know about on the show floor. I mean, are we going to have to replicate people? I would think certainly now it's going to be to gain efficiencies in production. And hopefully it just enables us to spend more time together and enjoy what in-person physical experiences, you know, I mean, being in a trade show with your peers in the community. I hope AI doesn't replace that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting topic for the next conversation.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit TradeshowEngage.com. That is TradeshowEngage.com.
Nancy, thank you so much for sharing with us your latest findings and it's indeed indicative of where we are headed and where the industry is. It's not in an easy place because of all the things that we discussed. I think we have our job cut out for the next 2-3 years. To bring it to even Neil, and I'll continue to talk to you through this period, and request your indulgence.
Okay, well, thank you again.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for Pitchlink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.